Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the 12th day of April, 2024. That's more like it. Those are my four words. That's more like it. As the Flyers skate out of Madison Square Garden with two standings points, 8-game skid in the rear view, and a game that maybe reminds us of how they played most of this season. I know it reminded me of that. We haven't seen that team in a while. And it wasn't just that they won the game. It's the way they won the game. Really good structure, in particular in the D zone and in the neutral zone. Attacking in transition. All four goals come off transition attacking the New York Ranger zone. All four. Even the Brink one. That's not a set off a forecheck or established offensive zone possession. I would consider that one a transition goal as well off the rush. And really good goaltending. Really good goaltending. Frankly, I'm stunned how good the goaltending was, considering all that's gone on of late with the Flyers giving up goals. I mean, Sam Harrison was pulled in his last two starts. He looked confident from the jump in that game last night. Made several good saves in the first period. Made several good saves in the subsequent two. Made himself look bigger. Body language, the way he was carrying himself on the ice, it looked like a confident goaltender. And the whole team just looked like they had a different look to him. And again, I'm not saying that because of the result, knowing the result. As I'm watching this game in the first period, I had commented to, texted a friend of mine and said that. They look like the team we were used to seeing before, playing with pace. Let's get to the particulars from the game. Flyers outshoot the Rangers 27-25. I thought the Rangers overall had the better quality scoring chances in the game. But the Flyers, they scored off the rush. They didn't infiltrate the middle against the Rangers and get down around the crease with scoring chances to the same degree the Rangers did at all. Sam Harrison, really good, battling for sight lines and on pucks and finding a way to, in particular, get stoppages when you need it. When you're on the road, that's an important element for a goalie, to have that awareness in your head. Guys have been out here a long time in the second period, long change. They get the last change. Know when to freeze pucks. I thought Harrison was good in every detail of his game last night, and I thought the Rangers attacked him right up the gut the entire night. I mean, the only goal they score is on a 5-on-3 power play, and that's obviously a very good power play, third ranked in the NHL. 4:21 into the game, Flyers open the scoring when Cam York picks up his 10th goal of the season. One of the things I feel like we haven't seen of late during the struggles is a team that is patient offensively to let the play develop fully to execute it. Sometimes you rush it and you jam it, and sometimes you need to let the play develop and breathe. Well, that's exactly what Travis Konecny does here. First of all, really savvy play from Konecny to chip the puck past Keandre Miller and not try and carry it past Keandre Miller through the neutral zone. Konecny carries that puck. There's two things. One, he's not skating as fast carrying the puck. And two, he can then be angled into the boards. When he chips it past Miller, Miller can no longer just angle him off, because if he does, it's interference. So Konecny chips it and then chases. Chip and chase. He wins the race. Miller eventually blows a tire and kind of flies by him. And then Konecny, head up, patience. Got guys driving the net, sinking the Ranger D towards the crease. And what do? You find the late guy, Cam York. He goes in, beats Jonathan Quick. Flyers go up 1-0. Very patient play. Again, looking like the team they were earlier this season, not the team of late. 18-19 of the period, the Rangers are on the 5-on-3 man advantage when Artemi Panarin picks up his 47th of the season. 4 seconds, I think, were remaining on the first penalty. Rangers are still on the power play. Flyers, thankfully, able to get that killed, get it to the locker room, tied at 1. Pick it up in the second period, 3:29 in. Poehling, carrying the puck through the neutral zone, obtains the Rangers zone, drops a puck off to Bobby Brink, who gets credit for the goal after it deflects off the stick of Keandre Miller. But why was Keandre Miller there? That's because Ryan Poehling, after he dropped off the puck, circled down and just drove the net. And he drives the defender there with him. If Poehling doesn't do that, that puck is not going to deflect off anybody because there's not going to be a defender there. The reason the defender is there is because Poehling does the right thing without the puck and drives the net hard. Otherwise, it's just a clear-sighted shot for Bobby Brink on Jonathan Quick, and Quick's just going to eat that up. But it ends up in the back of the net. Flyers go up 2-1. Turns out to be the game winner. Brink's 11th of the season. Poehling picks up the assist. Then at 19-13, a really great defensive play from Konechny. Now, if you're looking from Sam Harrison's crease to the Ranger end, on the right side, Konechny kind of rides a play out beyond the pressure. He's trying to get out on the rush. It doesn't happen, and it recoils, and Zibanejad then is going kind of at the top of the circle to a high-danger scoring area to get the shot off. But Konechny, relentless, coils back pressure, lifts the stick, steals the puck from Zibanejad, and the Rangers now have traffic around the net. They were expecting a shot. They're caught flat-footed. Flyers going the other way. And it's Ryan Poehling up the right side who, again, gets in down below the top of the circle, stops, gets his head up. Two Flyer players are driving the net. Third guy high is Travis Konechny. And because of all that traffic, he ends up finding Konechny on the cross-ice pass. Konechny eventually beats Jonathan Quick. Flyers go up 3-1. What are you kidding me? Three goals off the rush? Two of them with incredible patience? And all three scored with tremendous detail of players attacking the blue paint? We haven't seen this. Flyers go up 3-1 heading into the third. Now the Rangers have 27 come-from-behind victories that leads the NHL. And you're going, oh, geez, do I have to know this stat right now? I don't even want to think about that. Flyers go in with a two-goal lead, and they come out of here with nothing. Can we take any more? I mean, geez. But no, they go into the third period. They don't go into a shell, and they end up getting the only goal of the third period at 5:56. Again, guess what? Off the rush. Flyers D-zone draw. It's actually Hathaway on the draw, but Sanheim does a nice job supporting the draw. Gets in, chips the puck up the wall to Sean Couturier, or pushes the puck up the wall to Sean Couturier. Then Couturier chips it through the neutral zone, gets Cates in stride. Hathaway's coming with him. And again, Hathaway on the two-on-one, driving the net hard. Now the Ranger defender's got to kind of cut him off, and that just opens the middle of the ice for Noah Cates. And instead of staying to the outside on the right side with a left-handed shot, he moves to the middle, which opens up the net. He goes off the bar, off the post and in, and beats Jonathan Quick. Great finish from Cates, who now, has a five-game point streak. He gets his sixth goal of the season. Sean Couturier and Travis Sanheim pick up the assist, and the Flyers are going to skate out of New York with a 4-1 win. That's the Flyers' first win against a Metropolitan Division opponent. You're not going to believe this. Since December 19th, December 19th is the last time they beat a team in the division. It was the New Jersey Devils at on the road. Flyers won that game in overtime. Now they get a win in New York against the Rangers, the top team in the NHL, and a final score of 4-1. And it's just, obviously for fans, for anybody who follows this team, you see a game like that and you go, man, they did that all year. That was a reminder of how fun they were and why people were coming back to the building and respecting this team, the way they played, and how fun they were to watch. There was a guy that commented on the YouTube video a couple days ago and said, is this fun hockey to watch? Or he sent me an email. Yeah, what's fun about this? At least if, they didn't win back in the day, you get some big hits and some fights. Well, this is not that old school hockey. This is transition, high pace, risky hockey. And they went out there last night and they showed what they did earlier this season. Now, what does it mean? I have no clue. I don't know if it means that they're going to go on the next two games against the Devils and the Capitals at Wells Fargo and grab those 4 points, and we'll see where the math goes. I don't know. Was it an outlier? Can they use it to build on? Is it a foundational confidence block with only 2 games left? We'll see. But I talked about evaluation quite a bit in the last 2 episodes. And when the Flyers won that game, it dawned on me that part of the evaluation process at the end of this year, it's going to be really confusing because it defies the logic of sport. But you have to take all the information that you're given and decipher it, and you add weight to certain elements of it. Like this time of year, you add weight that the Flyers, since the gauntlet against Montreal twice, Chicago, the Islanders, Buffalo, and Columbus, that they not only didn't win those games, but they were lopsided defeats. So you have to weigh that. That's got a weight, a certain gravity to it. But what you also, as a part of this evaluation, and this part has weight as well, I don't know if one outweighs the other or they don't cancel each other out. That would be way too pragmatic. But the weight of how the Flyers have performed against the top teams. They've played several games this year where their opponent at that time was the top points percentage team in the entire NHL. They did it against Boston a couple weeks ago in the gauntlet. It was their last win, frankly, before last night, the 3-2 win at Wells Fargo. They did it not once but twice against Winnipeg. They did it once, even though they beat Vancouver twice, only once were they the top points percentage team in the NHL. They did it against other teams as well. They did it not that long ago. They did it not that long ago, twice, on the road against the Florida Panthers. 2-1 wins in both of those games. So how do you weigh all of that? You can play really good and have success against the top teams in the league, but at a crucial time in the stretch, you had this stretch of 5 games where they struggled against inferior opponents. I don't know how to weigh all of that. We'll have to figure that out when it's all said and done. But I find that it's the absolute extreme of ends of the spectrum, being able to take on those teams and have such great success like they did last night against the Rangers, but then have those struggles against the teams that aren't ticketed for the playoffs. It almost defies logic. But we'll have to weigh all of that. Again, which is why I said in yesterday's episode, when we do our evaluation, we're going to do it when we are removed from the raw emotion of what recently happened, whether that ends up being good, bad, indifferent. We're going to remove all that. We're going to strip that part away. We're not going to let that element cloud our judgment because we're going to evaluate everything. We're going to evaluate performances against the top teams, not just when they were the top teams, but, you know, performances like, you know, the 5-2 win in Columbus, the 5-1 win over Dallas, the 7-4 loss against Colorado, or the 4-2 loss against Nashville, or the 7-6 crazy game right before Christmas against Detroit, where they were down 5-1, came all the way back, but ended up losing in overtime. So we'll evaluate all of that. But we're going to do it when we're of total sane of mind and also when we can evaluate those things without the endorphins of what's happened recently infecting our evaluation process. But all said and done, really good win for the Flyers. Really impressive. It was good to see, and it feels good to see the team that we really enjoyed for 90% of this season. It was good to see a comeback last night. And I don't know if it's going to be there Saturday. I don't. So I'm not going to pretend that, oh, they did that. They're going to do it again coming up on Saturday against the Devils. I don't know. But it was good to see that once again. Watch that kind of hockey again. Transition offense, good goaltending, good defensive structure, guys working hard, not taking themselves out of plays, not overrunning plays or redundant in coverage. Man, I needed that game. I know you guys did too. So let's enjoy this one on this Friday. Coming up tomorrow, we'll preview Flyers, Devils, and we'll have much more. We'll get to some emails tomorrow as well because my inbox has been flooded. And maybe we'll get some tonight. If you have an email, thoughts on that game last night, what does it mean that the Flyers have had this success against the top teams in the NHL? I'd love to get your thoughts on that. Jason, J-A-S-O-N dot Mertitus, M-Y-R-T-E-T-U-S at gmail.com. You can send your emails there. You can also send me direct messages. DMs are open, as the youth say. And we'll talk about all that and more coming up on tomorrow's episode. So join us then tomorrow for a brand new Flyers Daily.